Hear me, my people. Your royalty. You are my people that I've created for my glory, that I may work with you, that all the earth will see my power and my glory manifest. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hear me now. The days are coming when you shall rise up. You are the light of the earth, and all will see you, and they will know who you are. They will know you are the people of God. Hear me now, my children. I am with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. Remember, to be absent from the body is to be present with me. And I will never, ever forsake you in any circumstances. For I have bought you with a precious price, a price more precious than anything you can imagine. You are mine, and I will hold you, and I will keep you for my glory, that you may be a blessing to many people, and they will know who you are. They will know who you are by my grace and my power that will manifest through your speech and through your deeds, saith the Lord. Well, thank you again. It's a pleasure to be here with you, and I just feel very humbled sometimes. But my humility is because of what God has done in my life and what He's done for me to be able to stand here. I was an introvert. I was so shy when my brothers would have parties that week, and I would work until very late in the evening, in the night. And if they were having a party, I'd make sure the party was well over before I went home. But God has started a work in me. You know what? The work that He started in me, He started in you. And He said He will never ever leave us or forsake us. And we will continue in that work because it is His will that will be done. And we will be, as it, I got it in the by the Spirit, a blessing to many people. Okay, if you got a very good memory, you will remember last year I spoke on this scripture and the Holy Spirit just used it a while ago. You know, strange, eh? It's Isaiah 55. I use a lot of scriptures, so if you could write it down, it'd be better, because I move very fast. Isaiah 55:8, the Lord speaking says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. We must always remember that. God does not do things the way we would do it. He does it His way, and that is something we must remember. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Just ponder on that for a little while, okay? For the rain cometh down on the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it to bring forth the bud, that he may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. That's how God revealed himself to us now. He revealed his ways, he revealed his thoughts to us through the word. Okay? And bring it, he may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I have sent it. Have you received the word of God? It's going to prosper in you. It's going to bring forth fruits of righteousness, that you may be a blessing to many people. I'm going to go to a scripture in 2 Corinthians, which is very familiar to all of us. And just 2 Corinthians 5:14-8. Says, for the love of Christ constrain us, it forces us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And we were all dead, what? In sin. But he died for all. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. We are a chosen people, but we have been chosen to do a marvelous work upon this earth. And by yielding ourselves vessels unto the Lord, it will be achieved. You will be vessels. But it says in a great house, there are vessels of what? Wood, earth, silver, gold, and honor. This and dishonor and honor. But if you purge yourself of this, it says dishonor, you become a vessel of honor. And that's what God has made us to be, a vessel of honor that he can pour from to bring forth his will to be done. Okay. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. No, Jesus is no longer in the flesh. He's a spiritual force now. Okay? So are you. Listen now. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are now a spiritual alive person. Please remember that now. The spiritual realm is a vast realm, a bigger realm, a different realm. We must learn to operate in it as the Holy Spirit leads us. And all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. The most important ministry you'll ever have is the ministry of reconciliation. If we don't tell them, if we don't get them saved, they're going to go to hell. There's other that sacrificed that we are here tonight. They came and they humbled themselves and did what they had to do. My family started with a Japanese man, one of the biggest stairway there was. But he got saved and he came. And very quickly, he came and did some work for me and he wouldn't take any pay. I said, you want me to go to church? I said, I'm not going to church. I just want to give you your money. And he would not take it. And he kept saying so and so. Eventually, my wife and my sister-in-law, Rita, went to church. They got involved in the church thing. Every week I promised her I would go with her. And she came and said, not this week. So finally, one week, she used a secret weapon. She started crying. So I went to church. And I'm forever being thankful I went to church, okay? So remember now, he changed a whole family. One man. One woman can do the same. Everyone here can do the same. If you allow yourself to be used by the Lord. Let your pride go. Pride doesn't count now with us. What counts with us now is faithfulness. Determination to fulfill the purpose that God has called us to fulfill. Okay, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Every one of us is called to do that. Okay? We must endeavor not to miss a chance to do that. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What does the ambassador do? He's a very important person with authority. He represents either a country or a kingdom. Where you represent a kingdom, the kingdom of God. You are an ambassador of Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus became sin. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was God. And without anything, nothing was made without him. And on, it goes on. But he became sin for us. That's a terrible price. You know how terrible that price is? When Jesus hung on the cross, as it got to the time when the sins of the world were going to be put on him now, it got dark. God didn't want to see his son, and the sin was put upon him. That's why he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God is light, and God left, and the light left in the day, and the sins of the world was put upon him. That we could become sons and daughters of God. This is a price that has been paid that no other could pay. Now we have received the great honor of being children of God. And we must always remember, we are children of God. And never let that leave your thought. Never let that stray from you in any way possible. Okay, so we are risen now with Christ Jesus. Let's go over to Colossians 3, please. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ. You say, but I'm not dead. You are. The old man is dead. Want me to prove it to you? Go to chapter 2, verse 9. says, for in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. When you see Jesus, you see the fullness of the Godhead. You see God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all in Jesus. In what he speaks, what he does, in his love, his kindness, whatever. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in Christ. You'll never be more complete, except when you change this mortal body for the immortal body. Okay? And you are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. This is a spiritual circumcision. In putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit and not water baptism. You couldn't be baptized with the Holy Spirit unless your old man died and he became a new creature. Couldn't be done. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us and was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, those are the things that we fight against, okay? Principalities and powers, rule of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high spaces. Those are the ones we fight against and wrestle against. And I hope I'll be able to give an example of what I'm talking about later on, okay? Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Okay, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. That was good in the days of Isaiah, when Isaiah wrote that scripture. I remember once I was in London, and I used this scripture. And when I went to the next verse and read it, there was just cheer. It was about Hampstead Bible School in London. There went up a great big cheer, because they had a teacher there that was teaching. That's what it says there. But it changes now. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Yes. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, which we have now. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. There's so much God wants to give you. But I've said this so many times. If you can't learn your ABC, you know, why go a bit further than that? But as you use the gifts and the talent that God's given you, he will increase it. But if you're not using what you have, it's no use giving you anything more. So we have to just take that step of faith continually, right? What is faith? Faith is substance, right? Of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So faith means you don't wait for what you see or know, you just step out in faith to do what needs to be done. And that's what pleases God. Without faith, what? What do you say? It is in what? Impossible to please God. So we've got to step out in faith. Have you ever seen God? I haven't. But you all believe in him now, right? Exactly. But we not only believe in, know he's there. Nobody could convince us he's not. Okay? Which things we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the unsaved person cannot receive. That's why they need to be, you know, you need to minister very cautiously, very gently to unsaved people. You know, when you approach someone and you approach them in the right way, they're going to get saved. Someone came to my brother's home where I'm living, and he came to fix the TV, and he went out born again, you know. And when he left, he gave me just a big hug and said, thank you. It's not hard. You see, if it's hard, it's because you're trying to do it. We just release the word of God and let the Holy Spirit do it. That's all we're called to do. Tell them. We can't save them, but we must tell them, otherwise they're going to go to hell. That's the important thing, people. The word you release is the word that the Holy Spirit will confirm to them. And you're speaking words of life. We can't do it. They will do it. I could stay here, now believe me, literally, and maybe talk for an hour about people I get saved in Honolulu. I mean, Hawaii. From just people taking up cans. And one day this guy said, oh, he's out of work. No. Why? Because they put a return price on, you know, cans. They take the can back now. He has no cans. He comes with hardly anything. So I went, I gave him some money. Really? Old Japanese man. And I gave him some money. After a while, I just asked him to receive the Lord. And he did. And just before he never came back, I went to give him some money. One day, no more money. Just pray for me. You see, it's not me doing it. It's the Holy Spirit in me. We have other Japanese. I remember one night, one day we went, there's one we used to call him, it's a stocking feet. His feet were so swollen, he had to wear some tight stocking on it. And we got him saved. And then we hadn't seen him because he got old. One day a friend saw him in the supermarket. I said, where's your husband? Where's your husband? She said, oh, he's coming. Oh, good. But as soon as I got there, pray for me. Would you be shy to pray for someone in the supermarket? I hope not. I'm always praying for people in Walmart. Really, if the word going forth, I lay hands on them too, because it's a need there. What am I going to say? Well, next time I see you? No, now is the time for that prayer, okay? And now is the time to do it. Okay, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, he's going to use the word judge it now, but in the margin it says discern it, right? So I'm going to use the word discern. But he that is spiritual discerneth all things, not some, all things. Yet he himself is discerned of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
We have the mind of the anointed,
yeah.
Anointed of God. We don't have the same mind anymore now. Because what? We are new creatures. We are spiritual people. We just read a while ago, right? You're a new creature in Christ. You're a spiritual person now. So we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? The mind of the anointed. And that's what we go with that. Okay? All right. Okay, let's go over to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy 2:15. Very, just one verse, but it's so important. Study to show thyself approved unto who? God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't study the Bible, you need to do so. Because this is where you're going to learn about God, who you are, how to operate in the power of the God, and how to bring things as the Holy Spirit leads you. You see, we are guided by our inner voice that is not audible. Small, still, inner voice that speaks to our spirit. And we are guided that way and instructed that way. It's no big thing. Did you hear anybody speaking to me when I prophesied? No. Okay. It was inside speaking. Tongues interpretation, the same thing. It's coming forth by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you are an anointed vessel of God. And inside you dwelleth God, the Holy Spirit. And I hope you are very conscious of that fact. And wherever you go, God goes with you. Whatever you do, God knows. Okay? Actually, I'm going to be touching on that a bit later. Okay? Okay, I'm going to go over to Proverbs just very quickly now. Proverbs 8. And there's just something over there I want to bring to your attention. Okay, Proverbs 8, verse 1 and 2. It says, does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the path. So obviously, wisdom cry, understanding is referred to as what? She. Okay? Anyway, that doesn't really matter. But the point I'm trying to make, as you read the Proverbs, it's always speaking about two things. Wisdom and understanding. But everybody know what wisdom is, right? Godly wisdom. Do you know what understanding is? Don't feel funny if you don't. Nobody has ever seemed to know. Okay? Chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That is it. Knowledge of the holy. Who's holy? God. Holy things. That is understanding. How are you going to get that now? Out of this book. Out of this book. By studying and showing. You see, it's so important that we know the instruction that God gives us. If we don't have the instruction, we cannot walk with it. When I was here one time, it says, I quoted these scriptures, three things. Can two walk together unless they be in agreement? No. You're going to go east, I'm going to go west. Okay? Simple as that. And the other was, the Lord said, the Lord will do nothing but he declare it unto his saints. God will do nothing, for it tells you what you're going to do in your life. Either in here or the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It tells you also that he declares his thoughts to us before it happens. He declares thoughts to us. Now remember that God knows the future. You know, God predicted that Cyrus will overthrow the Babylon Empire, right? Cyrus wasn't born then, okay? But Cyrus came and he overthrew the Babylonian Empire. You see, we are dealing with a God that knows the past, present, and future. Therefore, as we trust him now, he can reveal things to us that we can become more confident in doing his will, fulfilling his purpose for us. And that's the important thing, doing his will and fulfilling his purpose for us. Okay, that's all I'm going to do in the book of Proverbs, but try and remember that. And if you don't read the Proverbs, believe me, try and get some of that knowledge in, please. Okay, we're going to go to Isaiah 43, verse 25. This is a very important scripture. It says, I am he that blotted out thy transgression for my own sake. That's why God forgives you your sin. He don't want to see you as a sinner. He blots it out, okay? Now, a very important statement is going to be made right here now. Daughter of thy transgression for my sake, and will not remember your sins. Well, don't let the devil keep telling you about that sin that God has already blocked out now, right? Walk free. You've confessed it, God has forgiven you. Leave it behind you now, and go walk with him once, okay? Verse 26, this is very important. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou may be justified. What are you going to put him in remembrance of? His promises to you. Let us plead. Let's talk about it if you haven't got it yet. Okay? Declare thou. You're declaring what his word says. Why? That you may be justified. See, if you don't know what God has promised you, how are you going to do those things? You see, so you got to know the word so you can put him in remembrance. You can declare what he promised you, which you haven't got yet, and so on and so on. And remember, God forgives you his sins for your sins for his own sake. Just like if you are parents, you don't want to see your kids in sin, okay? And when it's past, you bury it. You don't go around saying, you did that 6 months ago. And 2 years later, you say, you did that 2 years ago, do you? I would hope not. Anyway, it's forgotten. It's put, buried in the sea of forgiveness. That's what God said. Most of us, if we went to God and asked him about sins we've done, now you said, you know, I said to you, what sin are you talking about? Yeah, what sin are you talking about? Because already buried in the sea of forgiveness, yeah. Forgetfulness. Yeah. Let's go to Ephesians 1, please. Okay, Ephesians 1. We'll start with chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 4 and 5. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. According as he has chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. God takes good pleasure in doing what he's doing for us. Okay? Please remember that. He's not doing it grudgingly, remembering our past. He's doing it. And he's taking great pleasure in it. Okay? Okay, verse 10. said that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he may gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. God don't ask anybody for advice, okay? He does it. Nobody could, you know, could advise him, okay? And what was that will? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now the Holy Spirit will always be with you. But the Bible tells you not to do two things. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, and don't quench the Holy Spirit. When you grieve someone, what happened? No communication, right? Bad. And what are you going to quench? Power, fire, whatever way you quench that stuff. You quench the Holy Spirit, there's no power working in you, working for you, working to do God's will, because you've quenched the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you do that? I'm sure we all know, right? Doing the wrong stuff, speaking the wrong thing, and so forth. Okay? Okay, go over to, we're there at chapter 11, 12, okay? Let's go to verse 17 now. The Apostle Paul, verse 16, let's put it that, is writing to the Ephesians. And today you heard a great big Armenian march about what they did to them in Turkey, right? Well, the city of Ephesus was in Turkey. And Turkey has very few Christians today. Very few Christians today. Okay, he said in verse 16, he ceased not to give thanks for them, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? That the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and understanding. That we all have, people, in the revelation and knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Yes, God wants you to see and perceive, okay? To hear and understand. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? His riches in glory in you and you and you and me and you over there too. We want to bring God glory by doing what he wants to do. You say, well, me? Yes, you. He wants you to rise up now. Okay? And what is the exceeding, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the mighty power, according to the working of the mighty power? The exceeding greatness of his power towards us now. You know, sometimes we underestimate God so much through fear. This came to me this morning, I'm sure. When I was in Ivory Coast, the first time I went to Ivory Coast, I went on a public meeting, and as usual, the village bully or the town bully always ends up there. As they walk by, they roll the eyes at you, and they do all kind of stuff, you know? Anyway, we got there, we're fixing up stuff. Here comes this bully with a big rubber truncheon, which is, wow, when he hits the dog, and the dog goes off yelping. He pulls down his cigarette, and he blows it into the pastor's face. And he comes up, and he just glares at me. Anyway, I ministered. And I gave the altar call, and he came down mocking. I wanted to be saved. I said, really? I went to him and said, I command that evil spirit to come out of him. I commanded, come out of him, and I just set him free. And I said, come here now, lead him to the Lord. And the pastor came and led him to the Lord. Guess who was in church Sunday? Tears rolling down his face. How he hated the Christian. He was torn their churches and tried to do bad stuff to them. But from my hand touching, he said, he knew there was a God. When I went by a second time, they said he was coming to church doing so and so, but he got sick and he went back home to his village. Well, I'm telling you, you have the power. You have the authority. Never underestimate the name of Jesus, okay? You release that word now. That's all God is saying. Speak the word. Let me do the rest. Speak it in faith. Release my word so I can hasten my word to perform. That's what it says. And trust him. Are you always going to have success? Most times you will. I could go on about stores with the usual bullies wherever I go. I remember once in Philippines, this guy was just, he had a great big cut down here on the blood, just barely clad, and he walked by me and grew Americano, And do you know something? When I finished speaking, I was praying for the sick. One guy who got his healing started to run up, and he grabbed the guy and said, "You stay there until the pastor finished speaking." He was on my side now. He heard the word, and he's making sure they are disciplined, until the service is finished. You see, we cannot underestimate the power of God. We must send His word out to do what you want, whatever you want to do, as long as you line up with the word. You release that word and let Him hasten to perform it. That's the only way it's going to be done properly. I mean, I think it's in Luke Gospel where it says, "It's a small thing that the spirits are subject unto you. But what is the great thing that your name is written in heaven?" That's the great thing. I forget exactly how it goes. Small thing that the spirits are subject unto you. Well, what does it say in 1 John? "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Who's that great one? The Holy Spirit. So never underestimate Him. Always remember that the power of God is in you by the Holy Spirit. And that is the important thing, people. Okay, verse 20 now. "Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come." Now, who do you wrestle against then? We don't wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, right? But you wrestle against what? Principalities, powers, rules of the darkness, world, spiritual wickedness in high places. When Fran and I go anywhere from the prison hospital, when we get there, one of the first thing we do is bind the principalities and powers. Rule of the darkness world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places in this era where we are. And then we lose the powers of heaven now to work in us, work through us that God's will and purpose for us to be there. That's what we do. And it's never failed yet. I mean, I go into prison for years and years and years. I've never had an incident yet because I bind those powers first. And then when you bind, you got to lose. You cannot leave an empty spot. Remember once, a devil was cast out of someone, but he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. So what? Seven more devils came, even worse than himself. So when you bind, you got to lose to fill the gap. Okay? Okay. "Far above all principality and power and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." Right now, we're not up in the universe yet. We're going to be up there one day, govern that universe. Okay? That's what we're going to rule, the universe. And what position you get up there depends on what you do down here. In other words, you earn your brownie points down here, okay? You're going to go up there. I told God I don't want to go up there and be a corporal, okay? You see, there's a vast universe. When I got saved, they said, the earth is only 400 light years old, right? Now they're telling me about things that happened millions of years ago. Millions and millions of years ago. I don't know how they got there, but, when did God make the heaven and the earth? Oh, come on. First book, first verse. "In the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth." When was the beginning? God knows. I don't know. In the beginning. You see, for many years we heard, the earth is only so many thousand years old, right? And carbon dating and all that kind of stuff. I said, just read the book. Long before Columbus discovered the earth was worth, you can read in Isaiah, I'm pretty sure it's Isaiah, it says, "The Lord sitteth on the circle of the earth." Why should it just go around like this? So, he knew it was wrong, but Columbus had to go find it and tell us. God, we didn't read the Bible. Oh, praise God. Okay. "And I've put all things," verse 22, "under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filled all things." Okay, can your body do anything without your head? No. But so, we can't do anything without Jesus, okay? I want you to know that. In Him we live and move and have our being. And through Him we receive and we can give or receive. So we cannot ignore the head, just like, my foot ankle and say, I'm going west when the head don't give it the order, you know what I'm saying? It has to obey up here. We have to obey Jesus, who is the head of his church, and the church is his body. All is in mind. This is in just several times. Okay? The Bible says everything is of God. But all things were made by Jesus. All things. So remember now, Jesus has all the power now in heaven and earth. When everything is settled and done, he will turn the power over to God. But until then, all the enemies will be put down. He will have that power. And he wants to work through the church to do what needs to be done here on this earth. And he needs every vessel. And everyone we don't tell the word to is going to go to the wrong place. Okay. Let's go to Titus 2, please. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Purify, you are a purified people, okay? A peculiar people. You know what the word peculiar means? The word peculiar means uniquely precious, strange. So when people think you are strange as a Christian, don't be surprised, okay? Uniquely precious, strange, and sanctified. That's why the dictionary describes that word peculiar. When I read it, peculiar, I'm not peculiar. You think of something ugly, right? Something different, right? No, that's what it really means. Peculiar people. Zealous of good work. And again, remember, when you are ministering to someone, you take it very easy. You don't try to force on them. Just release it. Let the Holy Spirit give them the understanding of it. And if you don't, we just saw that, remember, what did it say? One soul, another one water. But God gives the increase. So sometimes you're just going to sow, and another water, and God can give the increase. Okay. Okay. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Then. Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. That's when you got born again, when that word came and divided. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Before you speak what you're going to say, God knows what you're going to say. Okay? You can't fool him. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So remember that. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our confession, I think is a better word there. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus went through everything that you and I will ever go through. So he can be our high priest. He can go to the Father. The Father, I know what they're going through. I've been there. That's why he's your high priest. He represents you. Just like a lawyer, attorney, whatever, to get your sins washed away. Because he was subject to the whole thing. Okay? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Please don't go begging cringling, okay? Go because you're entitled to go. Don't go whimpering. Just go and speak to God in a natural way. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in this time of need. Do you need mercy? Do you need grace? What does mercy say? You know, justice demands payment. Mercy says, I forgive you. And God's grace kicked in and says, I will help you. Mercy forgives. Justice demands payment. So God's mercy erases all of our sins and gives His grace. And His grace is, I'm not described as amazing grace. In Galatians, the last chapter, you can see it says God's grace, great grace. It amazes us, yes, but it's great grace. And that's something that we can always rely upon. I'm going to finish now with a couple more things. I want to just go over to Ezekiel 22, please. Way over on the back there now. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Didn't find one man that was standing for the nation. Therefore I have poured out my indignation upon them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, said the Lord. Wasn't this sad, eh? There's one man who will be able to go unto the throne of grace and plead for the nation, stand in the gap, but he couldn't find one. Well, that was terrible. Go over to the book of James, please. James chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thank you. Elias or Elijah was a man subject to passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and the rain not on the earth, by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He didn't even have dew, if I remember right. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You see, we are going to get that soul saved, because if we don't, they're going to perish. You see, it's not like a prison sentence that finishes. It's eternal damnation. And if we don't get the word to them, they will go into eternal damnation. So please remember that. Well, I'm going to finish with the scripture now. You know, in the beginning we were where God came to make a peculiar people, right? Well, this is where we are today now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. There we are again. That you show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We walk in the light of God now. We don't have to stumble anymore, people. We have His word, and we use it as the light for us. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, we are just passing through this world now, people. Don't let it tie you down now. Don't set your affections and stuff that you're going to leave here. But Jesus said, put your treasures in heaven, where rust does not corrupt and moth does not corrupt and thieves don't steal. And the Apostle Paul said, we came into the world with nothing, and it's a certainty we can take nothing when we go. So send forth your good deeds ahead of you. That's the only thing you're going to get up there, sending it forth. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that they, whereby they may speak against your evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Your good works will speak for you. You see, we don't just give to the good and the one we like. Serve the one that is even further out than the rest. That's the good works. You're showing the love of God there. And there's so many times that you can do things for people and don't expect anything back for it. Just do it because there's a need there. Meet that need if you can. Because you're showing. One of the things Galatians says, God will not be mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Sow good seeds, reap good harvest. Sow love, reap love. We have been blessed. We didn't sow to receive Jesus. But God behave in just the same. And so we need to follow His example. Today, what is Jesus doing today? It tells you in the book of Hebrews, He ever lived to make intercession for the church. Ever lived. Oh, He's not retired. He's up there praying for us. And that we need to do. Well, again, thank you very much. It's been an honor to be here. God bless you all.